Imagine that you've invited people to your birthday party. After greeting the guests, you go in to survey the birthday gifts. And yet nothing has your name on it. In fact, the guests begin to exchange the presents with one another. Remember, it's your birthday party, and yet no one has gotten you anything. How would this make you feel? Sad, most likely. Perhaps even offended that on your birthday, the guests have begun exchanging the presents among each other. And yet sometimes I think this is how Jesus feels. Because for the next month, we will find ourselves very busy with shopping, with baking, running around, maybe even gift exchanges, but very little attention in our world is given to Jesus and the fact that this is the celebration of his birth. Everyone loves to celebrate Christmas, but too often the birthday boy is entirely forgotten. Now you might say, well, what gift can I possibly give to God? I mean, he has everything, right? Some people are really hard to shop for. But in just 26 short days, we will celebrate with great joy the birthday of the King of Kings. And so what meaningful gift will we give to him on that day? The church gives us the season of Advent to answer that question. Advent comes from the Latin word which means coming. And in the early church, Advent was the time of preparation for Epiphany, when the new Christians were baptized. Later, it took on the more penitential character of the season of Lent, which is that time of penance and purification in preparation for the feast of Easter. Gradually, Advent became known as we know it today, that four-week period of spiritual preparation for Christmas. So today, the first Sunday of Advent marks the beginning of the church's year. And the liturgical color changes to purple to symbolize royalty, because we're expecting the birth of a king, but also to symbolize preparation and penance as we prepare for Christ's birth. Now, Advent has a twofold character based on the twofold coming of Christ. Yes, we're looking forward to Christmas, to his first coming, but we're also eagerly awaiting his second coming at the end of time. When the church celebrates Advent each year, she makes present the ancient expectancy of the Messiah. For by sharing in the long preparation for Christ's first coming, we ardently renew our desire for his second coming. The coming of God's Son to earth is the central point in human history, and that's why we tally the years according to his birth. We have the years B.C., before Christ, and the years A.D., which stands for Anno Domini, which is Latin for in the year of our Lord. But the coming of God's Son to earth is such an important event that God willed to prepare for it over centuries. He makes everything converge on Christ. All of the sacrifices and rituals, all of the prophecies of the Old Testament point to Jesus. Point to Jesus himself, made man in our world. God announces his Son through the mouths of the prophets, and so we would do well to pay attention to what the prophets have to say. So we look to our first reading today from the book of the prophet Isaiah, where the prophet is calling out to God and saying, "Return, return for the sake of your servants. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." What a beautiful image, God tearing open the heavens so that he could enter into our world as a baby. Later, at the end of time, God again tearing open the heavens and coming in glory. At his first coming, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. At his second coming, he will be clothed in light as in a garment. In his first coming, he endured the cross, despising its shame. In his second coming, he will be in glory, escorted by an army of angels. And so even though Advent is that time when we're preparing for that first coming, that coming at Christmas, the gospel today focuses more on his second coming. The watchword is watch, a word that Jesus uses four times in this short gospel reading to show the mindset that we have to have. We need to be preparing ourselves for his coming. And so most people who overlooked his first coming made a huge mistake. And yet we who know of his first coming cannot let ourselves be unprepared for his second coming. But in between the two comings of Christ is his coming to us through the sacraments, especially through the Eucharist. And so that's why some people refer to the three comings of Christ, his coming in history, in mystery, and in majesty. In the Eucharist, God again tears open the heavens and comes down to us under the appearance of bread and wine. His desire for union with us is so strong that he wills to become food for our sake, that he's able to enter inside of us, to live inside of us. And it's no coincidence then that he was laid in a manger in Bethlehem, because a manger is a place where the animals eat, where the sheep eat. And Bethlehem means house of bread. And didn't Jesus himself say, "I will lay down my life for my sheep, and I am the living bread come down from heaven"? These two ideas are fused together in the Eucharist, where Christ becomes our food. The living bread from heaven comes down in order to pasture the sheep. So what are some ways that we can prepare for Christmas during this brief Advent season? Well, first is by setting up an Advent wreath in our home. And it's great that I have a visual aid to help me this morning. When I was growing up, we had an Advent wreath in our home. And each evening, we would take turns lighting the candles and leading a prayer that night. But there's so much symbolism to the Advent wreath that it's worthwhile to take a look at some of that symbolism. On dark, cold nights, we light candles on a wreath of evergreens. Now, being from Seattle, I know a thing or two about evergreens and yes, dark, cold nights. But the candles symbolize Christ, who is the light of the world. The evergreens, they symbolize hope and continuous life. And they're woven in a circle, which has no beginning and no end. And this stands for the immortality of God, the immortality of the soul, and the eternal life that comes to us through Christ. The purple candles, there are three of them and one rose, so a candle for each week of Advent. The three purple candles symbolize penance, preparation, and sacrifice. While the rose candle stands for Gaudete Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent on which we rejoice. Gaudete means rejoice. We rejoice because Advent is more than half over and the coming of Christ is very near. As I mentioned, the candles, the lighted candles, symbolize Christ. And the successive lighting of the candles shows our anticipation, our increased readiness to receive the Lord in all his fullness. Another way that we can prepare for Christmas is by going to confession. What better way, what better gift can we give to the Lord than the gift of a pure soul? So we should take the time this Advent to avail ourselves of this healing sacrament, the sacrament of Christ's mercy, that we may purify our souls for his coming. Another way is to read the scriptures. And so I highly recommend the infancy narratives in the Gospels. Now, the infancy narratives are chapters 1 and 2 of the Gospel of Matthew and Luke. So 1 and 2 of Matthew and Luke. And this is really where we read about the before, during, and after of Christ's birth. So we can find ourselves in the scene. We can put ourselves there. So read chapters 1 and 2 of Matthew and Luke. Maybe one chapter for each week of Lent. We can also offer special prayers to Mary. She knows what it's like to wait in in joyful anticipation for the birth of the Savior. Remember Jesus in the womb of his mother for 9 months. She couldn't see him, but she knew that he was very close, that the Word had been made flesh in her womb, and she was awaiting his birth. And so the church, in her wisdom, has given us this season of Advent to prepare for the birthday of the King of Kings. But he's not looking for decorative wrapping paper and bows and ribbons. He's looking to be the king of your heart, the beloved of your soul, the love of your life. For his birthday, he doesn't want presents. He wants you. And therein lies the paradox. Because on his birthday, he is the one that gives. He gives himself to us as a humble, helpless baby, so that we might learn how to give ourselves back to him every day of our lives. This is why we must spiritually prepare during this Advent season, so that on Christmas morning, the birthday boy will find ourselves ready to give ourselves to him who has already given himself to us, which is the greatest possible gift that he could give. May God bless you.